am excited because I get to sit and listen today. I like to learn. I like to listen. I like to hear God's word preached. And I like it that we have other people in this congregation who can get up and say things besides me. It's a big deal, and I feel like we're blessed, especially because we've got several. And today is John Pfeiffer Day. John Pfeiffer Day. Well, it sounds really official, doesn't it? But, John has been working on a word, and I actually kind of have an idea of what's coming, and I like it. I like it a lot. I think it's good for us to hear these different things. And even though some of this stuff I've said, it's good for you to hear it from other people. And sometimes when somebody else says it, it's just easier to hear. It really is. I mean, sometimes the way somebody says something, you kind of go, I've heard that before, but I don't know where. But it resonates. It rings. You hear it from different sources, and God begins to speak to you. And so I'm excited. Let's all do what we do, which is make sure that we receive from a person who comes because we receive them. We make them feel welcome, and then we receive from them because of our efforts to say, yes, I'm gonna get something out of this. And by the way, you'll get something out of this because Holy Spirit is faithful. He'll bless you. So let's just praise the Lord for John as he comes.
Can you hear me? There we go. This is God speaking. No, I am not God. Thank God. How are we doing this morning? Good. I have to start out by saying I'm a little distracted this morning, so if my delivery is a little hit and miss, we can blame Tim's toe shoes. Who's got your Bibles? Let me see them. Okay, open them to Luke 17. I am old school. I like paper. So how many remember my last message? It's been a hot minute. Not many. I know how Tim feels. Okay. So I opened, I closed my last message talking about faith in action. So this is kind of part two of that. I'm going to pick up where I left off on that. So are we in Luke 17? Okay, I'm not, so you're going to have to wait on me now. Okay, so Luke 17, we're going to pick up verses 11 and go to verses 19. It's a parable it's a story we've heard before. Pretty often, the 10 lepers. While he was on his way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee, he being Jesus. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When Jesus saw them, he said to them, Go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks to him, and he was a Samaritan. A little nugget in there. Then Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to him, Stand up, go. Your faith has made you well. So this one kind of was interesting to me because I read it and I thought all 10 were healed. So what was Jesus trying to say to the one that came back? Because he's trying to say something that he got that none of the others got, but they all got healed. So what was he getting? So I saw my footnote here on that verse, your faith has made you well. And my footnote says, literally, Your faith has saved you. So I did a dive into the Greek, and the word for made well or saved is sozo, word we've all kind of heard before. So reading the definition of sozo, it was saved, healed, or made whole. So all 10 got healed, but only one got made whole. You follow me? Okay. So what I want to point out here in this story as well is all 10 had faith, right? Because they cried out to Jesus for mercy. So their faith led them to have action, which was to ask Jesus for mercy. And then their faith also had the action of they went to go show themselves to the priest to be declared clean before they were clean. Did you catch that? While they were on their way, they were made clean. I want to pick up in another story that we've heard a lot. It's in Luke 8. You can skip there if you want, or if you take notes, you can see me afterwards. I'll get you the verses. Luke 8, verses 43 through 48. Another story we've heard a lot. And a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone came up behind him, Jesus, and touched the fringe of his cloak, and immediately her hemorrhage stopped. And Jesus said, "Who is the one who touched me?" And while they were all denying it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone did touch me, for I was aware that power had gone out of me." When the woman saw that she had not escaped notice, she came trembling and fell down before him and declared in the presence of all the people the reason why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." This one kind of gets me a little bit, because in the Jewish law, if a woman was hemorrhaging, she was unclean, and you were made unclean if you touched her. So she was scared of the consequences of her touching Jesus. But he had mercy on her anyway. So, anyway, she had faith in Christ that he could heal her. So her faith led her to the action of touching him. If I just touch him, I know I'll be healed. This is a great example of the difference between mercy and grace. So Jesus said to her, "Your faith has made you well." And it's the same word, sozo. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has saved you. So his mercy was her healing, right? The grace was she got something she didn't really deserve, which was she was made whole. We all understand, like, we don't deserve that grace, right? I want to read something from John. I've got a lot of scripture today, so you can just listen on this one. So it's John 3. It's just the first couple of verses. "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you have come from God, a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.'" Say do. Do. "No one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." So Nicodemus, a scholarly person, a Pharisee, knew that Jesus was the Messiah because of the power in which he did things. It wasn't his words, it was his actions. Actions speak louder than words. And we've heard, all heard that, right? So my last message, I mentioned something in James, but I didn't actually like quote the scripture. So I'm going to actually read that scripture and might be a little helpful if you actually knew what it was. So James chapter 1, verse 22 through 24. But prove yourselves doers, say doers, of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, say doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, say doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. We're skipping ahead, James 2:14. Hope I didn't skip five pages. There we go. What use is it, my brethren, if anyone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, and yet you do not give them any of what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well, but the demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his own son, on the altar? You see that faith is working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was filled with, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. We're called to be more than hearers of the word, right? And all the examples I've read this morning, people had faith, and then that faith was perfected by an action. They had faith, they had to actually have the courage to step out that belief. We can all say we believe, right? But if you say you believe, but the evidence of your actions doesn't back that up, then what's true? In Exodus, when the Israelites are running from Egypt and they come up to the sea and they feel trapped because the Egyptians are chasing them, the response, the exchange between Moses and God, kind of, it's interesting to highlight. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you have seen today, you will never see them again, forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. And then this, the Lord's reaction kind of cracks me up a little bit. And then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to go forward. Like, duh, dude, I told you to go. Like, this cracks me up. Anyway, I'm sure God's probably not as sarcastic as I am. But. So the Israelites lacked the faith to look past the circumstance, right? Like, they believed enough to leave Egypt. But once the first adversity came their way, they're stuck between the sea and the Egyptians. Their faith didn't have the action or belief behind it. So they were afraid. And Moses basically probably just didn't know what to do. So cry on the Lord and we'll just wait and see what he does. Now, that's old covenant, right? That's not the covenant we live under. Right? We know that. So contrast that in Acts with the Apostle Paul. In verse 16, I want to highlight something. Verses 6 through 10. Acts 16, 6 through 10. They passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, immediately he sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So you see Moses and the Israelites don't know where to go. So they stop and wait on the Lord. In contrast, you see Paul, and he is trying to go anywhere and everywhere. Phrygia, Galatia, Mysia, Bithynia, Troas. Like, he's trying to go anywhere and everywhere he can to spread the gospel, trusting the Lord to steer him, which by the sound of it looks like did a pretty good job, right? Holy Spirit stopped him from going here. Jesus stopped him from going here. He had a vision in the night telling him where to go. I might be kind of asking some of you to tell on your age a little bit. Has anybody tried to drive a car without power steering? Is it easier to steer the car when it is moving? Yes. That'd be $25. So far I've just been driving that your faith should have action, right? So you have the faith. There should be some sort of action, movement, power behind it. But I do want to give a little bit of balance here, because I'm not saying your acts save you, right? Your faith saves you. Your faith has fruit. So I know at the end of my last message, I kind of challenged us to reach out to somebody who we know hasn't been here for a while, but is part of our body. And some people have come back since then. But I want to challenge us again that our faith should have fruit, right? That fruit is the action that shows. Jesus said that they will know that we are his disciples based off of our love for each other. So I want to challenge you guys. We still know people who aren't here, or people who probably aren't even part of the faith. Like, what action are we showing them, and how are we trying to reach out to them to spread the word to them? Right? Jesus did, from what I've read, a lot of serving when he was walking with the disciples, right? So I want to challenge us and ask ourselves, myself included, How are we serving? How are we representing Christ as a servant? So, let me pray with you guys. Lord, help us to know which action we need to take to show our faith. I know we'll always be challenged with that. Lord, when we come up with an opportunity to prove our faith with action, to perfect our faith, show us and help us to take that action. Amen.
Good word. Good word. You know, as I was listening, I was noting something that happened with both the lepers and the woman. Thought about asking someone to do this right now, but I think the illustration would be just a little overwhelming, might be misunderstood. But picture this. What if I just asked someone to come up and, I don't know, just fall at my feet? They would see some really ugly shoes is what would happen. And up close at that. But both the leper who came back and the woman who came forward, and the leper, it said, was shouting as he came forward. The woman wasn't shouting because she was obviously nervous about what she had just done and how it seemed to fly in the face of the law. And sometimes our legalism will keep us quiet when we ought to be shouting, because she had a lot to shout about because she had just got healed. And the leper had a lot to shout about because he had just got healed. And both of them were thankful. Clearly, both of them were very thankful, and they came with thanksgiving, and then they fell at his feet. And what is that? That's worship. That's worship. What does it take to get you from the place of faith where you receive something to the place of faith where you get whole? It's just a little bit more than everybody else did. That's where they were. They were doers. And they did what they couldn't help themselves but do because they had just experienced something that was beyond their comprehension. And they come and they do according to what they've received. And I just want to encourage us as we go through our life and through our week and we see God do things and we see God moving, little things, big things, whatever he's doing, I encourage you, by all means, make sure that you maybe humble yourself a little to do it. But if you want to get everything, if you want to get whole, if you want to take it to that next level, then you'll worship. You'll become a worshiper. You'll become a person who humbles themselves and goes after God.